Well, if you're a parent, you know that sound well.
That's so
If you're not, but
upsetting.
if you're thinking about it, take heed. All right, it's 3 a.m. You've got a really unhappy baby on your hands. You've been hearing that sound for the past 6 hours. What do you do, Allison?
Cocktail.
For you or the baby? You reach for some cold
Me.
medicine. Okay, but you're a good parent, and so you've got this kind specially designed for young kids. The question is, does this stuff actually work, and what really are the risks of overdoing it with this medicine? Those are just the kind of questions the FDA is going to ask later this week when it holds hearings on the safety and effectiveness of over-the-counter cough and cold medicines for young kids. Drug makers have already voluntarily pulled 14 such products in advance of those hearings. This has more and more data seems to show the medicines may not actually have any positive effect and that there is a risk of overdose. The FDA could be considering an outright ban. Dr. Catherine Tom Revson is the pediatric clinical pharmacy manager at Children's Hospital at Montefiore Medical Center in New York City. She's, maybe more importantly, also the mother of a 22-month-old child who apparently catches a lot of colds. Hi, Dr. Tom Revson.
Good morning, Luke. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good
Good. Did
morning.
that sound effect hit close to home?
Yes. So my daughter's 22 months, and she's had at least six colds in the last 22 months, but I've never given her anything.
Oh, really? Well, that was going to be my last question, but I mean, I'll just jump right to that. Well, first, let me guess, why do kids get so many colds? I mean, is their immune system weak?
Well, first of all, as you're saying, Luke, their immune system is still not fully developed yet. And second of all, they have smaller nasal passages than older children and adults. So they're prone to catching colds, and they're also more sensitive to dry air, which is common in the wintertime. So it's not uncommon for our children to catch colds. And of course, having contact with many people in their lives and germs on their hands and it's common. It can be passed from hand to the nose, or someone accidentally coughing on them, sneezing on them. So little kids are prone because of their smaller passages and also because their immune system is not fully developed.
Well, these medications that are going to be scrutinized pretty heavily this week, what's potentially dangerous about them, these cough medicines?
What's potentially dangerous about these products is, first of all, there's very little evidence in children, especially, that they work at all. So cough medicines, the decongestants, and the antihistamines. There were actually several studies in adults showing that they may not be effective either in adults. But in children, there's very little evidence. And until there's more evidence, I think we need to take a look at the safety and whether or not they really work.
Well, if there's no evidence that they work, that's different than them actually being harmful. I mean, is there indication they could be doing harm?
There is potential for them being harmful, especially in the combination products where there's more than one active ingredient. And if a parent isn't aware that there are multiple ingredients, like there's already a decongestant, there's already a pain reliever or a fever reducer, and there's an antihistamine, and now the child develops a fever, and the mom decides, okay, I think I need to give a pain, I'm sorry, a fever reducer. There's a potential of double dosing on active ingredients, and that's where the potential lies. Another potential for danger is that younger children can't always tell us what's different about them after they take the medicine, so about the side effects. A lot of times the decongestants can cause headaches, it can cause the heart rate to increase, it can also make the child more irritable and hyperactive, which is not really what you want the child to feel when you're trying to get them to fall asleep at night.
Well, those sound like really different kind of manifestations of overdosing on this, which probably means it's pretty hard to read because if one kid gets hyperactive from another kid gets lethargic, I mean, how do you really know as a parent?
I think it's important for a parent to recognize, parents know their children best. So if the child is not acting the way they usually are, if they're more hyperactive or they're more lethargic, especially if they have a high fever, or if they're coughing up, blood or thick mucus, I mean, they need to recognize when to bring them to the doctor. And not just treat with one of the medicines.
Doctor, have the medicines changed over time? Because I sort of seem to remember getting a big old teaspoonful of some really strangely red-colored liquid that made me feel moderately better. Have they changed a lot in terms of what they're putting into these children's medicines?
The medicines have changed in the last few years. As you may have heard, pseudoephedrine, which is one of the most common decongestants, was actually abused and made into methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. And because of that concern, that was actually moved from over the counter to behind the counter, where if you wanted to go buy pseudoephedrine, you would have to go and ask the pharmacist for it, and you can buy a certain amount, and your name would be logged in the pharmacy. What's been replaced is now called phenylephrine, which is another decongestant that works very similarly to pseudoephedrine, but it's actually been suggested by a group down in Florida, a group of pharmacists who actually did the research on phenylephrine and showed that perhaps at the dose that's being recommended right now, what's in the products isn't effective enough to relieve some of the congestion that people may have with their common cold.
Well, we'll have to see what the FDA rules later this week, but certainly there seems to be reason to at least take a hard look at these things. I guess my question to you, doctor, is what is a parent supposed to do, let's say, if they don't want to use any of these medicines? What do you do with a sick kid in the middle of the night?
It's important to keep the child hydrated, so plenty of fluids, whether it be water, juice, or plain old soup. Chicken soup would work as well. Using a warm mist humidifier, elevating the bed, putting a pillow under the child so the child actually sleeps upright. Also using putting the child in a steamful of in the hot shower for the steam would also be helpful. So non-medicine tips actually work, and I've tried them all on my child, and she turned out fine.
All right. Well, I guess if there's anyone's opinion on this matter we should take seriously, it's yours, Dr. Tom Revson. Dr. Catherine Tom Revson, the pediatric clinical pharmacy manager at Children's Hospital at Montefiore Medical Center in New York City. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Luke.
So this weekend, Luke, Bill Wolf, mm-hmm. our Monday morning sports guy, mm-hmm. made me watch this play over and over again on the TiVo. This freshman quarterback, his big day out, just makes the most disastrous decision at the very end of the Cal Berkeley-Oregon game.
It was a beautiful story.
It really
was. A terrible ending.
We'll get into that in a minute.
Speaking of things that may or may not end well, politics. John McCain trying to lay the wood on Mitt Romney. Rumors that Barack Obama is a secret Muslim. And Larry Craig indicted into the Idaho Hall of Fame. Have they heard of Outlook? Is that scheduled in there somewhere? We'll get into it in a few minutes with Jim Vandehei. That's coming up on the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.